more than just a way to heaven. What does it mean to be His, to be formed in His likeness, know that we have a purpose?
This morning, let's enter into prayer and then we will get into this morning's Bible lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We truly thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity that it is that we get to come here together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And Lord, I pray that it never becomes familiar and that we are always desperate for you, Jesus. I pray this morning that you would stir up a hunger and a thirst for you, God, for your word and for who you are. Have your way this morning, Jesus. Anoint my lips as I deliver the lesson. Open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, Jesus, to be renewed and to be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's Sunday school hour, one of my favorite hours. Usually I get to spend them in a room over here with the world's greatest young people, who I can't wait to hear all that happened at NAYC. I hear that the apostolics are coming. I hear that the apostolics are coming. Someone over here says they're here, and I'm going to echo that. The apostolics are here. Praise the Lord. We sang that song this morning, Say So. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be His? And we have spent this month doing a series on kingdom living, principles that Jesus taught us so that we can live life to its fullest and that we can be spiritually healthy individuals. That has been the focus of this month's lessons. Talking about principles that Jesus taught us, not just random things that we came up with, but principles that came directly out of the Word of God. I hope that you have gleaned from them. I hope that you are digging in. The whole purpose of these lessons is that this is God's Word for life. This is not just God's Word for Sunday morning and for Wednesday lessons. This is God's Word for life. And it is our hope, it is our prayer that you are taking the devotionals that we provide and you are digging in a little bit more during the week. That is our hope and our prayer. Sometimes it takes baby steps for some of us to get going. But we really need to respond to the Word of God in order to be truly transformed. This week, we're going to discuss making the decision to rely on God instead of ourselves. You see, we often feel that we're invincible. Some of us, anyways. We can do anything, and we can do everything, until all of a sudden, we can't. You see, when we just trust in ourselves and ourselves alone, ultimately, we're going to fail. We won't be able to sustain. But with God, we can be sure that He will do the miraculous on our behalf. Not for me to show you how great I am, but how great He is. Amen? Amen? Amen. The wisdom of obedience. Perhaps one of the most famous sermons ever preached is a Sermon on the Mount. If you haven't realized it, we've been chewing through the Sermon on the Mount through the month of July in our Sunday school hour. And Jesus used this sermon to teach us to help people to understand how to get past the letter or the legalism of the law and how to see God's heart. The sermon is to help you and I to learn how to be a true follower of Christ. And so to help drive his point home, towards the end of the sermon, he told us a parable. And a parable really is just a story with a point to help us who are hearing it understand that point, hopefully, a little bit better. But this parable that he tells as he closes the sermon is a story of two builders. Anybody heard of that story? Who were the two builders? I hear it. The wise man and the foolish man. You see, these were two men who scoped out and found the perfect land for them, and they went to building their homes. One of the builders looked down at his feet and he saw sand, but he looked out and he saw perhaps water. And he thought, this is where I'm going to build. And he got to work digging his shallow foundation. Felt like it was okay. Got to work with his hammer. Got that place built. And then he thought, oh, this is great. He put up his hammock and he sat and he watched the beauty of his home, listening to the waves crashing by him, perhaps. He smiled at how easy it was. Matthew 7:26 says, "But Jesus said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house in the sand." You see, from a distance, without getting too close, from a distance, it looked like he was the craftsman. He was the better builder. He got his house up quicker. He had beachfront property. Sometimes it's really easy to look at other people and think, wow, they've got it together. They've got all the blessings. But you see, his house was built in the sand. It was on a shaky foundation. And it reminds us that it's not just enough for you and I to hear the word of God. In fact, if we read through the Bible all throughout Israel's history over and over again, God sent messengers, right, to talk to them, to share his commands, to share his expectations. But unfortunately, at the same time he was sending people, Israel was plugging their ears and they were ignoring the word that was being delivered to them. You see, maybe they felt privileged because they were God's people and God spoke to them. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't respond to him. And what happened was, oftentimes, their lack of obedience resulted in God's judgment rather than his blessing. King Saul, anybody heard of him? King Saul missed out on God's blessings because he didn't obey the entire command that God gave him. He didn't get rid of the things that God told him to get rid of. You see, they took the best of what they thought was going to be good for them and they kept it, even though God said, get rid of it, right? The Lord sent his prophet Samuel to rebuke him. I can imagine this task for Samuel. You know, we hear, okay, the prophets go, but the prophets had to do what? They had to listen and they had to obey. So they had to listen to the message from God, and then they had to deliver it. And sometimes I can tell you that delivering the message that God asks isn't an easy task. You have to be obedient, and you have to go and do it. And Saul did that. And he went to him, and he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." To obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than to simply give. To obey is better than to just come. There's a necessity for us to obey the word of the Lord. That second builder that we were talking about earlier, he looked and he found a firm foundation. He found a rock that he would keep his house on. A rock that he knew if he built there, that today's gentle breeze, it'd be okay. But if he built on that rock, when tomorrow's violent winds start blowing, he's going to be okay. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." You see, if we look at verses 25 and 27, it's interesting because Jesus came to save. He gave the exact same weather forecast to both of these builders. The rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and they beat on that house. The winds blew for the wise man and the winds blew for the foolish man. Sometimes we get it wrong when we think just being a child of God means the winds are never going to blow. If God loves me, I'm never going to face that. But no, he's saying, hey, listen, The winds are coming. They're going to blow. There's challenges. But if you will listen, if you will hear, and you will obey, I will see you through. I will see you all the way through. The same forecast for both people. Only one house stood, and that was the house that was built on the rock. You see, Jesus likened this house to whoever hears his word and obeys it. You see, it's impossible to claim to be a Christian who loves and serves Jesus Christ, but refuses to hear and obey, the word of God. We can't pick and choose. It's an oxymoron to follow a leader, but refuse to follow and go where the leader is leading. God sent very stern warnings to the people of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel concerning hearing and doing. He didn't want them just to hear his word. He wanted them to respond and to do and to take action. And in Ezekiel 33:31, it says, "And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For their mouth, they show much love. They sing all the songs. They say all the right things. But their heart goeth after their covetousness." You see, when God calls us, we can choose to listen, as the second builder demonstrated, or we can ignore his call, as the other builder demonstrated. You see, when we choose to have faith in God, but we do not actually choose to keep his commandments, we're in trouble. We may look like Christians from a distance, but when we're on unstable ground, we will not be able to weather the storms of life. Again, the storms are coming. And for some of you here today, the storms are here. And there is only one solid foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. The only way that will see you through this storm is not giving up and throwing this away, but it's hanging on to these words, and it's saying, "Yes, Lord, it hurts, but I'm going to listen. Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to respond, and I'm going to act, because I know that this is my firm foundation." When nothing else makes sense, when those storms of life come, they blow on the just, and they blow on the unjust. The winds will come. But you see, we demonstrate our faith to God, not just by saying, "I trust you, Lord," but by entrusting, giving it to him, and obeying what he asks of us. A lot of times it's really, really easy to get caught up in the move of the Spirit. And I think about NAYC that just happened this week, and 35,000 apostolics in one place. The power, the anointing, the flow. It's really easy, young people, to go to these events and get really hyped up. But what matters is when you come home and you walk it out. What did he ask you to do? In the everyday, you and I, every one of us, we have to make the choice to make obedience a priority. But all too often, our priority is my feelings, what I want. I want the beachfront property, and I'm okay with the shallow foundation. Or do I want the firm foundation? The firm foundation. You see, obedience to God is necessary. First and foremost, because Jesus commanded it. John 14:15 said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He didn't say, "If you love me, go to church on Sunday. If you love me, sing songs. If you love me, do this. If you love me, do that." He said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." You see, when we love him and we respond to his word, the most amazing, incredible thing begins to happen. Is you see, all the principles and the things and the nuggets and the gems and the gold that is buried in here, you got to mine it out, honey. You got to get up and you got to go after it. He's given it to you. It's right here. Have you ever been able to use a muscle that you have not exercised? Have you ever hurt a muscle that you could not exercise? Have you ever torn a tendon? Worst thing ever. I do not recommend it. I tore my tendon about 4 years ago in my right elbow, and it dropped me to my knees instantly when it snapped. And then I tried to do something as simple as this. And guess what didn't work? All it did was this. And I tried to do this, and it just did this. And I'm like, something's not right. I was actually supposed to be on my way to have lunch with Terry Spears, Brittany, and Cecily. And I said, something's not right, guys. I think I have to go to the doctor instead. And I went, and it took a while to figure out what happened. And it took me a really long time, months and months of therapy. But praise the Lord, I can do this now, and everything works. But it hurt so bad. And I took for granted something that was really, really simple. But if I didn't put in the work, if I didn't do the simple little exercises that I thought were stupid, I mean, realistically, you want to know the very first exercise they gave me? They said, take something that weighs 1 pound. 1 pound. So realistically, this is 1 pound, approximately. That's it. They said, hold it in your hand. Put your hand out like this, but support your elbow, and do this. Down. Do not lift your hand. Use the other hand and lift it up. And I was like, what is that going to do? So you know what I did 3 times a day? I did this, and I lifted it up. Because they told me if I would do this, and I would lift it up, eventually I would be doing this. And I would be able to throw when I couldn't throw before. I knew he'd catch it. Good job, Ty. Jennifer, didn't mean to scare you. But you see, we get some things from God where he says, do this. And we're like, that is so little. Pfft. No, no. Lord, I have plans. I have it figured out over here, and here's what I'm going to do. And we say, I'm running with this. And he's saying, I asked you to do this. So none of that matters to me because I asked you to do this. And if you refuse to do this, I will not bless any of that. And we have to make a choice that says, Lord, your word is the priority in my life. I don't want to just hear it. I want to live it. Your being obedient to you is priority number one to me. But too many times, our priorities are messed up and other people become our priority. And we become really concerned and wrapped up with what other people are doing. But you know what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. There isn't another you on the planet. But there's a whole bunch of people trying to be like a whole bunch of other people, doing a whole bunch of things that everybody else is doing. And nothing is happening. God wants you to be you. He wants you to hear his voice and to do what he's asking you to do. There are missionaries in the making in this building. I believe it. But missionaries never happen if you don't get up and obey. There are teachers in this building who have yet to teach the first lesson that the Lord has asked them to teach. There are disciples who are not making disciples because they are not listening to what Jesus is asking them to do. There are disciples who are not growing because they are not doing what they are hearing every time they come into this building. It doesn't matter how many messages you hear. What matters is what you do with what God is giving you and asking you to do. I can never be you, and you can never be me. And that's okay. He designed it that way. Stop trying to be like everyone else. Focus on what God is asking you to do. Another parable in Matthew is the parable of the talents. And this, Jesus was talking about a wealthy man who had servants, which to us sounds kind of weird. Like, we don't live that way in 2023. I mean, I don't know. If you have servants, No, nobody's volunteering. Okay. We're not really used to this. But we hear the word servants, and a lot of people are like, what? You can't have people as servants? Well, you know what? They were hired and paid to do a thing. Anybody got a job? You are a servant. So if we take that mindset and we think about this, he's going on a journey and he's saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to be gone. I need help while I'm gone. You see, we have banks and we have ACHs and we have electronic deposits now. I mean, you can do literally everything from your cell phone if you wanted to, banking-wise. But then they didn't have all that stuff. And so what he did was he picked out some people who he thought that he could trust. And he said, hey, here's some talents. And the first guy, how many did he give him? 5 talents. The next guy got how many? 2. And the third guy. You guys are great. So these talents, it wasn't like he said, here you go, Debbie, here's a quarter. Go flip it. No, some scholars believe that it was 20 years of wages. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of money to go into invest, to go and do something with. So he went off and did his business trip and what he needed to do, and he came back, and he talked to the first guy, and the first guy is like, wow, it's great to have you back. I'm so excited. Here's what happened. You gave me 5 talents, and I'm really happy to tell you that here's another 5, and here's 10. Good job. Well done. And the second guy came, and he's like, yeah, you gave me 2, and look, I was able to double mine too, and I got 4. And then the third guy came, and I imagine that he had a really hard time looking up. And he had a really hard time looking into the eyes of his master and saying, you gave me that talent, but you know what? I was kind of afraid of you, and you're kind of hard to work with, and I wasn't sure, and I was afraid that like if I did something and I didn't do it right, then you'd be really mad because I lost your money. But I didn't lose your money. I still have it. Here it is. And he returned it. And the master looked at him, and he was like, what? The very least you could have done was gone and earned some interest on it. You could have done something, but you chose to do nothing. And he took that talent, and he gave it to the man who brought back 10, right? You see, the interesting thing in this, we always look at it, and we think, oh, he got 5, and he got 2, and you only got 1. But if you look at this a little bit deeper and you realize and you understand, it wasn't about how much. It wasn't about how much. What are you going to do with what you've been given? That's what it was about. And God said, I gave you something so you can do something with it. It's not just for me to hang on to. But it's to open my hands and let him multiply it into what it needs to become. Like I said, there are missionaries in the making here. There are disciples. There are faithful men and women who will never leave this community. And that's fantastic because we need strong apostolic disciples in our communities who are reaching for people as plumbers, reaching for people as electricians, reaching for people in IT, reaching for people in banking, reaching for people in the hospitals, reaching for people in our schools. We need to be faithful in everything that the Lord is giving us so that he can keep growing us for his kingdom. Not for my world and my little setup, but for his kingdom. We need to be kingdom-minded, and that only comes when we're transformed and when we obey the principles of the word. Amen? Making obedience a priority. The Lord never looks at our lives and bases it on production. He's not sitting there going, Madeline, what are you producing? Show me. What is he looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. And I am so thankful for your faithfulness, Madeline. It has ministered to me, oftentimes from a distance, to hear testimony and encouraging and good words. And I thank you for that, because you are faithful. And the Lord sees that, and he needs that in each and every one of us. Every one of us. You see, that servant who got condemned, it wasn't because he didn't produce. It's because he didn't obey. He didn't act. He didn't respond. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man or a woman be found faithful." Faithful. Don't worry if your giftings don't match the abilities of the person sitting next to you. Don't excuse yourself from doing nothing because you can't do what they can do. Again, God's blessings are not based on production in the kingdom, but it's based on our obedience to His voice. His voice. Don't wait for me or pastor or any other teacher or leader in your life to tell you what to do. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're here to show you how to live, and Jesus will tell you what to do. Listen to Jesus. He will never steer you wrong. If we put all our hope and our faith in a person or a leader, we can get hurt. We can get misled. We can walk through some really painful things because people are human and humans make mistakes. But you see, as we respond to the Word of God and we listen and we obey, He fills us with His Spirit, right? As we listen and obey, the Bible says to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift of the Holy Ghost is what empowers me, and it empowers you to do what you need to do. You don't have to do it all on your own. He wants to help you. But the only and first step is a step of obedience. Of obedience and saying, "Yes, Lord, I hear you, and I will do it. I don't have to do it alone." We should focus on obeying the word and obeying the voice of God no matter what. More and more and more and more. It is not comfortable to be a Christian in our society. Don't base your Christianity on the temperature of society. Base it on the Word of God. Stand for truth. Do not give it up, no matter what. It may not be popular, it may not be wanted, but it is so needed. It is so needed. Praise God. If we desire more from God, we have to take what we have and be faithful with it now. And God has given Calvary Gospel so much. And when I say Calvary Gospel, I am not referring to this building or to the church staff. I am referring to you, my brothers and my sisters. God has given us so much. But I feel like we're just sitting on our talent. We're just sitting on it and we're just holding on. And God is saying, I've got some plans. I've got some blueprints. You wanna see them? He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for me and he's waiting for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll obey it. I don't have it all figured out. I don't understand everything, but I know you're with me and I'm depending on you." And see, when we can get out of the way and we can depend on him, he can do things that will blow our mind. Kingdom first. But we have to make some priorities. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be like him? In his book, A Call to Excellence, Gary Inrig tells the story of Bertoldo de Giovanni, whom he says is a name that not even the most enthusiastic lover of art would recognize. Does anybody know who that is? Bertoldo di Giovanni. Anybody? Nobody. He was a really important sculptor in his time, but none of his work lasted. We have none of it today. But his chief claim to fame is as a historical connector. He was the pupil of Donatello. Anybody heard of him? There's a few nods. And Donatello was the greatest sculptor of his time and the teacher of Michelangelo. Anybody ever heard of him? He's known as the greatest sculptor of all time, not just his time. You see, Michelangelo was 14 years old when he came to Pertaldo. And it was obvious that he was very, like, enormously gifted. And Bertaldo was wise enough to realize that gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than to grow. Gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than grow. So he decided, I'm going to keep pressuring this young prodigy of mine to work seriously at his art. And one day he came into the studio to find Michelangelo toying with some sculpture that was way below his level. And so Bertaldo grabbed a hammer and he smashed it to pieces. He shouted an unforgettable message, Michelangelo, talent is cheap. Dedication is costly. Calvary Gospel, talent is cheap. Dedication is costly. You have to prioritize to obey the word of God. You see, the gifts and talents God bestows on us are only a blessing to us and to others when we devote their use to Him and to the kingdom. You see, none of us can assume that we are too meager or insignificant to bless anyone. Who's missing out on their blessing because you won't use your voice? What's not happening because you won't obey the nudging of the Spirit? I can't tell you, and only heaven will show the things that we have missed. But it is not too late because His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, and it is a new morning here for us at Calvary Gospel. And I wish desperately that we would rise up and we would find our voice as we heard about last weekend. And I would pray that we would find that voice and we would get up and we would go after what God is calling us to. It just takes one person. There's a story of a young girl who perhaps came in on the bus route at the late James Kilgore's church. And this girl came in, and she was going to Sunday school, and they were collecting the offering. And she didn't have any money to give. But before she got in the building, she thought, you know what? I want to bless Jesus today. I want to give Him something, and I don't have any money, but I want to give Him something. And so you know what she did? She went in the yard, and she picked a flower. She picked a bloom and she said, you know what? I'm going to give this to Jesus. I want to share this with Him because I want to give back to Him for who He is. And so she took it to Sunday school and she gave it to her teacher. And her teacher was really touched by it. And her teacher felt a nudging to go share it with the pastor. And so she went and she shared the story and the flower with the pastor. And she said, look, this is what this little girl did. And he began to weep as the Spirit began to talk to him. And he chose to obey the Spirit. And he brought it before the congregation. And he said, look what happened. And in a moment, that bloom blossomed into a spirit of giving across the congregation. Because the little girl listened to the voice of God. And the Sunday school teacher listened to the voice of God. And the pastor heard the Lord say, use this. And you know what happened that day? I think it's like tens of thousands of dollars was raised for missions. For missions.
not for their own kingdom, but for his kingdom. All because a little girl said, what can I give Jesus? I don't have any money, but I want to give him something. And so she responded to that in her spirit. And because of her response, it ignited a response across the congregation. Who needs to listen to what the Lord is asking to ignite a fire amongst us? Who needs to hear the voice of Jesus and obey the voice? It isn't enough to just hear. We must respond. We must do. We must be who he's calling us to be. Amen? I know I'm supposed to teach this morning, but I feel this so strongly in my spirit. God wants to do something. We are too comfortable. We are too comfortable. He cannot move with what we will not give him. And if we won't give it to him, he'll carry on. His work won't be stopped. He'll find somebody else who just might be willing to listen and to do. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I would challenge you this week, as you make obedience a priority, that you would first make the choice that it will be your priority, and that you will ask God to show you personally a talent or a gift that he's given you. You see, sometimes we think it has to be something big and flashy. I can't play the keyboard like you, Olivia. I can't do it. I can't sing like some of you. But that's okay, because we can't all do the same thing. And sometimes we think if I can't get up and I can't be in front, then I can't do anything. No. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, he's with you. And those are the God moments we need. Every day, faithfulness. Every day. So this week when you pray, ask God to show you, what is it in here? What do you want from me, Lord? What do I need to give back to you? What have you given me that I'm hanging on to and it's not doing anything, but you want to take it and you want to multiply it? What is it, Lord? Help me to do that. And help the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to be developed within me. To draw others for the kingdom. Not to build up Calvary Gospel. Not to build up ourselves. But for the kingdom that our communities would be touched. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for your spirit that is here with us. I thank you, God, that you are calling us to walk in faith. And God, I know that that means I have to show you and I have to demonstrate in the actions that I do. And God, help each and every one of us here today to not just hear your word, but help each one of us to obey your word, God. And as we respond to your word, God, I pray that you would teach us to use what you have given us for your glory, God. Wherever we are, whatever we do, God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us this morning to make obedience to your voice a priority in our lives, God. Lord, that you would help us to seek you first, to seek you with our whole heart. Our whole mind, everything that we have, God. Lord, that you would transform us, that you would change us, God, and that your spirit and your power would be at liberty to move amongst us, God, that we would be empowered by your authority to do what you have called us to do in the world that so desperately needs you today, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would move deep into our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, God. Transform us, Jesus. Change us to be something more that you desire us to be, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, just respond to him this morning. Whatever he's asking of you, respond to him. I know we don't typically open up the altars after the teaching hour, but this morning I feel led to say it's open. It's open if you need to come and you need to lay something before him, or maybe you need to come and you need to pick up something that he's asking you to take with you. Respond this morning to him, not for my sake, but for your sake. listen to Jesus, respond to his voice, that you would hear and that you would obey, that you would hear and that you would do for his kingdom, for his glory. Jesus, have your way this morning. Thank you, God, for what you are doing, Jesus. Speak to our hearts, God. Speak to our minds, Lord, and help us to walk in obedience. Help us to walk in faith, knowing, God, that you are greater, Jesus, that you desire greater things, God, that you want to do these things, but you cannot do them if we won't do it, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's calling you to greater. Only you can decide if you will obey. If you will hear, and you will do. You are welcome to continue to pray and to speak to the Lord. He's here in such a sweet, sweet way. If you have children, rescue the teachers and go get them. Be mindful of those around you who may want to pray. Otherwise, greet a brother or sister and share the goodness of God in your life this week. In Jesus' name.